Tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. After a stellar Sox game, we have WGN weather guy Tom Skilling with Mark Carmen, a special birthday celebration, and food from Pete and Frank Georgiakopoulos. We've also got music from popular Chicago artist Michael J. Foxy. And our political roundtable with Eric Elk and Ken Jakubowski. Plus, be sure to get your calls in for What's That From happening at the end of the show. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago, here's your host, Andrea Darlis.
The greatest city in the world. Go, go, White Sox. They did it. It was, in fact, a stellar game. All right, we got a big, big show for you. Just heard Mike preview everything that's going on. Eric Rung is sitting in with me tonight, taking over the news dials. Roger Badish in Traffic Central, he's hanging with us as well. We are so excited. We are, without further ado, we are going to get right to our main guest, our first guest, the great Tom Skilling. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Andrea. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. You are truly the hardest working man in the business. Do you sleep? I mean, truly, do you sleep?
I do. I do.
All right.
And that's very nice of you to say. By the way, I got a real kick out of you guys when you had Sean on with Eric and you were all talking.
Oh. Well, you just wait for tonight, Tom.
Yeah, we had a good time. We learned a lot about Sean, Tom, that he has a tie drawer, and he's just, you know what, he's one of the nicest guys.
He really is.
So cute and fun and good news anchor, just a good guy.
Well, Sean's one of my roommates, so I've got plenty of dirt on him if you need anything like that. But
we need some dirt on him,
yeah,
Tom.
Go,
you know,
Tom.
There's no dirt to be had. I'll tell you, I got a kick out of you talking about the doggies, Callie and Maddie, and
he's so proud of your dogs, and I say yours together because he's always showing pictures, and I know you guys are so involved with Paws and the local Humane Society.
Oh, it's true, and I'll tell you, Sean is amazing. He does it so effortlessly, the emceeing of these programs and all. And I tell him, how do you do that? I get so nervous before doing stuff like that because you don't do it all the time.
You do not. But, I hope you heard that. And this is very true because we didn't pre-plan the question ahead of time. And I asked him, what is the question? Just based on my experiences when I'm out in the street covering stories, people always, the first thing they'll always ask about is you. And Sean and Eric backed me up.
Yeah,
they said, absolutely. The first thing is always, oh, tell Tom hi. We love Tom Skilling. So,
you know what? I'll tell you, that is, you know, I sit back here quietly in my little windowless office, and I'm quite surprised over this furor over my 40th anniversary. I kind of wished it would pass kind of quietly, but I find that so amazing. Don't you guys? I mean, you're out there.
I think it's incredible.
Tom.
When we go out in the public, you are recognized too, I'm sure, and I always am amazed to think of the power of this medium that we can, you know, broadcast from a studio, and yet we're reaching folks, and it's kind of nice to see everybody in person, you know.
It is, and it's all over the country too. I'll be in Florida or Texas or wherever, and people will say, "We love. Please tell Tom we love."
Oh, is that nice? Well,
yes.
That's surprising.
You know what, Tom? I actually started taking a list. I have all their names.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring them in and give them to you.
We gave them your cell phone, Tom.
It's funny. It's a testament to the power of this medium that you can put an ugly face like this on for four decades.
Oh, stop it.
And finally you start getting, you know,
By the way, you're a handsome devil. I was looking at the pictures.
Good.
August 13th, 1978 was your first day at WGN TV.
Boy, you've done your homework.
I know. Tom, so we're excited. We're planning for this. I know throughout the weekend there's going to be some surprises for you, and then on Monday as well, we're going to be talking about you guys a lot, so I was looking at some of the pictures.
I know. I know. It's incredible, isn't it?
I love the mustard jacket.
Oh, those jackets.
Oh, boy.
Do you know, they were literally of burlap. And and we were all issued, you were issued when you started here, three burlap jackets. One had that mustard color. There was one that was green, and there was another one that was brown. And I remember going to a tailor to get because I have one arm that's a little longer than the other one. And he said, I said, can you raise this arm a little bit, you know, the sleeve on it?
Yeah.
And he says, oh, can't do. He says, too cheap. And he says, the material's too cheap.
Too cheap, right, right.
I know.
Because if you cut it, it would dissipate. It was just going to get, you know, ruined in the wash.
I know. It was, we didn't care. It was so much a part of the whole thing. But, you know, I remember when Harry Carey was introduced on our newscast as going to be our Cubs announcer, and Jack Brickhouse was there. And so they're sitting at the news desk, and Jack has one of these mustard-colored coats on. And Harry reaches over as we're on the air, and he says, hey, Jack, he says, nice material. He said, what is that, burlap? And it was.
And
you know?
It was.
So, I know.
Maybe better than, like, velour or
I know.
Something, Tom.
Do you know when John Drury came to work here, apparently he had it written in his contract that he wasn't going to have to wear these things. And that kind of broke the whole cycle.
Oh,
so
that broke
good.
The mold.
Yeah, it broke the mold.
John did that, huh?
I was actually just looking online to see if I could find one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I should start wearing it, Tom.
I tell you.
I think, Eric,
I wonder where they've gone. That's a good point.
Instead of put a shirt on, Tom, we're going to tell Eric, you know, put a jacket
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Wouldn't Eric look good in that mustard-colored, you know, coat? Or?
And just that. I'm thinking just that with, like,
jacket?
A pair of the rugged jeans.
Yeah.
You
know,
faded,
the
faded
shirtless, jeans. Yeah, you know, hair showing. No, I'm kidding.
And I'm trying to think, that green, I'm not sure what it went with. I don't remember. I guess if you could wear a white shirt, and it would go with almost, you know, the white shirts would go with almost anything.
It's hard to match. I'm glad we've come a long way.
I know we have.
I'm glad you have. You know, all right, we're going to brag about you just for, I know we're going to talk about your weather event tomorrow, but we have to brag about you just a little bit, because this is a wonderful milestone, Tom. You have to be so proud. We're so proud of you. Your first job, is this true? You were 14 years old.
Yes. Do you know what, Andre? It's quite interesting. My dad was a mechanical engineer and worked in New York City for a while. I was born in Pittsburgh. That's where my folks are from. We moved out there and lived for 13 years. My dad did that commute into New York. And I used to, as a young weather enthusiast, get this government weather map mailing that came out of Washington. And it arrived the next day because Washington wasn't far from New Jersey, where we live.
Okay.
But when we moved out here, my dad was transferred to Aurora in 1965. And so the whole family moved out. And my little weather map publication, which in those pre-internet days was the only way a young weather enthusiast got anything close to a real weather map, other than these little maps and newspapers that didn't tend to be very good. It was, and that arrived 4 or 5 days later because of the mail. And so I wrote this radio station thinking a radio station could do anything. I didn't tell my parents. And I'm told it was an 8-page letter saying, look, if you can get me some weather maps real time, I'll do a weather forecast for you. Can you imagine the audacity? I'm kind of embarrassed to think back on that.
I think it's so cool that at 14
you know
what you wanted to do. That was so that's so cool. How many people can say that?
Well, you know, Andrea, the thing is, I was kind of shy. I'm kind of amazed I did that. But, you know, that led to a career. And the radio station, Aurora, called me, and we went in, the program director, Rusty Tim, and I got in the car, and we drove into the United States Weather Bureau forecast office on the University of Chicago campus down on Woodlawn. And at that time, they were doing forecasts out of Chicago for Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, all of Illinois and Indiana, all from the same forecast facility.
Wow.
But we talked to Joe Folks was the head of the weather service here. And I pled with him. I said, is there any way we could get maps? We'll provide self-addressed stamped envelopes.
Oh.
And he said, yeah. They did a lot of hand plotting in those days in the office. And so they had a big Bruning Architects-type duplicating machine, and they ran off a copy of these, I found out years later, for Argonne Labs and for me.
Oh, so, my God, that's so cool.
It really is pretty amazing. In fact, some of the guys who later worked with me here in the weather office, as Weather Service retirees, said, you know, we always wondered who this Tom Skilling was that we were sending these things to. And I'd go down to the post office in Aurora, pick them up, and they'd arrive the next day, and that was... You know, in those days, that was a thrill. That was about as current a weather map as you could get.
Oh, now, did they know how old you were? I mean, did you tell them that in the letter?
Well,
or did you just show up as, you know, a teenager?
No, they knew how old I was. I used to call them before I went to high school, and then I'd come back in the afternoon and update the forecast. And they knew, Eric, you know, but I think that... they thought that was kind of novel, you know, to have a young person doing it. And for a young person, what a dream come true.
Gosh, you know? what a great experience.
Roger Badish in the newsroom.
If that's not enough, wait, we still have to brag on Tom Roger. Oh, Tom's first TV job. Now, that you thought that was the first job. The first job.
Yeah.
Was in also in Aurora in TV at WLXT.
That's right.
And you were 18 years old.
I know. Well, it was interesting because the head of that TV facility, that was the first attempt at local TV. And this was before cable and all. And it was Channel 60. And it went on the air in Aurora. And I wrote them and said, hey, you need a weather show. And my brother and I painted the U.S. map. We bought the plexiglass and put it on there. We literally built the thing. There was one camera in the operation, one color camera, and it was pretty grassroots operation. But what an experience. And I put in my first teletype. And you got everything encoded. So a young fellow who went to Army and Military Academy who was interested in the weather and I would sit down and we'd hand plot the weather maps, and I would get ready for our 6:30 evening show after I got back from high school. So that started the TV career, and boy, what an experience! You look back on it and you think how lucky to have a chance to do that. And that's why I get such a kick out of the interns that we have. That's a wonderful way to learn our business.
Oh, it certainly is. We make fun of our interns. We have fun with them. Tom, we show them like an 8-track cart and
ask them
what this is. And we had an intern one time who thought our reel-to-reel machine was a coat rack.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we play with them a little bit.
They're
so sweet, though.
I tell them, Andrea, that, you know, someday, 40 years from now, when I'm 8 feet under, you know, or something like that, and you reach the age I'm at right now,
yes,
you'll look back
Thank
on this
you,
and you'll
God,
say,
yes.
you'll say, now I know why he was as crazy
right.
as he was, because you will have put 30 or 40 years under your belt in this crazy business of ours, which is a wonderful business.
You created, I have to ask you, Tom, you created the column, Ask Tom Why.
Yeah.
And I know people are already texting in. They want to be a part of the conversation. But this text was very cute. Somebody wanted to know the craziest weather question or one that really stands out. Just the craziest weather question on your Ask Tom Why.
I am impressed. And by the way, that was a solo effort of mine for many years. Steve Kahn, Rich Koneman are engaged in that now, too, because we split duties here. We're trying to do a newspaper weather page, blog, do TV, do radio, and everything else. So I brought four very talented people into this operation, and we all split duties. So we go through the questions and all, and it is amazing the caliber of the questions that are asked. And I'm trying to think of what would be a crazy one. But most of them are really quite good, you know, like what's dew point? And, you know, or
What's a puffy cloud? What's the difference between a cumulus cloud
and
a puffy cloud?
Yeah, cumulus. Well, you know, there are only really two types of clouds. The cottony ones, the bumpy ones are cumulus, and the flat ones are stratus.
Well, yeah.
And then you add
of
a...
Of course.
Andrew and I were actually talking about that before we got on the air. It's great party chatter, you know?
You know, it's funny watching Morgan grow and learn from you, and they do, I know, that funny segment in the morning with her weather parties.
Uh-huh.
Did you have weather parties like that where you play like Weather Jeopardy?
Gosh, the morning show has taken us in this industry to places we've never been before.
They're just nuts, Tom.
That is an absolute broadcast phenomenon. The whole crew in the morning. And I've engaged in a couple of those little bits with Jeff Hoover and the whole group. And we all have. You guys have too, I'm sure.
Hey, Tom, at what point in your young history
Yes.
Did you purchase the PJ Hoff weather kit?
Oh, you know, Roger, I saw you Facebooking about that. I'll tell you how I came by it. One of our engineers said, I used to work at CBS, and we had about 500 of these things laying around. It had been distributed to viewers as a promotional thing. He says, this was right after I started years ago. He said, you want a PJ Hoff do your own weather show kit? I said, are you kidding? I'd love to have one. So he brought in, I think, 10 of them, and he had a basement full of these, as he told me at the time. And there it was, you know, and this is one of the giants of our profession. Boy, PJ Hoff and Harry Volkman and John Coleman and I'm trying
and
to
you
Oh, seriously.
Those are the four greats in Chicago weather history.
Well, Tom, you are the most humble person ever.
Gosh.
You truly are. And we were joking before about, and Eric said, yeah, we're going to give you other names. You would be the type of person to write all of those people back personally.
Oh, Andrea, you're so sweet.
I actually have. I was at a courthouse. I was covering a court case.
Yeah.
And I can't recall where, but I was going through security, and the security guard said, you know, do you know Tom Skilling? I said, well, sure, I know Tom Skilling. And they said,
They probably said, well, then you're not getting in here, Eric. Anybody would know that crazy idiot. You know,
they said, do you think you could get us his autograph? And I said, absolutely. I said, write all your names down.
I remember that, Eric. So that was a while ago, right?
It was. It was about a year or two ago.
Yeah.
I had to write all their names down. I said, where do you want me to send it?
Just that
great.
I'm such a good egg.
He charged him $50 a piece, Tom.
Oh, that's
marvelous. So I don't know if you ever saw any of that money.
I did not, and I don't care. You know, for Eric to do that is so nice.
Well, for you to do that.
You know what's...
They didn't want my autograph, I'll tell you that much, Tom.
Well, you know what's wonderful? Oh, Eric, believe me, people would love to have your autograph. You are amazing. I mean, you know, talk about... And so are you, Andrea.
Oh, Tom, you're
talk
so
Talk about...
Sweet.
And Roger, I mean, an institution in this business. You guys are amazing. And it's funny to me how you move so smoothly from television to radio. You know, this medium in which we work today, or this industry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're servicing all these different platforms right now.
And you do the same thing, Tom.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Tom, isn't it crazy, though, how different and how it's evolved?
Oh.
I mean, just from radio to TV to now social media. I mean, we thought, I'm sure you probably thought a newspaper column was a lot of work, but you're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
It's amazing.
Yeah, how just it's evolved.
And what wonderful sources of information. I mean, there are a lot of downsides to social media. We hear much discussion about this fake news issue and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, from a meteorological standpoint, the flow of information we get from a storm-stricken area, we now immediately not only get a report, but we see what has happened, you know, when a tornado, God forbid, has struck a community. And whenever did we have information like that in such real time? And you guys have got to see this in the news business,
Absolutely.
And you are just, when I said you're tireless in this business, Tom, because you're constantly working. I know you're so generous with your time, and I know you probably want to go home and go to bed after working all day, but I wanted to talk about your climate change talk tomorrow that you're hosting. This is going to be really cool.
It really is, and it's organized by Congressman Raja Krishnamurti and his staff, and we're bringing in Don Wobbles, Nobel Prize-winning climate researcher with whom I've done a number of these programs over the years. He's amazing. He was at the White House in the last year and a half of the Obama administration as a climate advisor, and he has been lead author of the seminal IPCC reports. These are the United Nations reports that look at the state of the science, where we are, what we know about where we're going, how the modeling is indicating things are happening. And there are things happening fast, faster than anybody had anticipated. The melting of the Arctic, which is going to affect sea level. Do you know the last time we had the carbon dioxide levels that we have in the atmosphere today, sea levels in this planet were 10 meters higher than they are today.
Holy cow.
What that means is the oceans have not caught up to the change in the atmospheric chemistry, which is driving the changes. And another thing, y'all, always hear, we've always had climate change, you know, deal with it. We'll get through it. We've never had climate change driven solely by atmospheric chemistry, and we have dumped more carbon into the atmosphere faster than at any point in the human history and in the history of the planet. That's what's different about this, the speed at which all this has been introduced to the atmosphere. And carbon dioxide lasts hundreds of years. Once it's released, it holds on to and re-radiates heat. And the problem is, if we start warming things, the oceans have been absorbing a lot of this. They're turning acidic in the process, 30% more acidic than they were back in, when the Industrial Revolution started.
Boy, does it surprise you what's happening so fast, Tom?
Yes, and I think it surprises a lot of folks. And what they're really concerned about is what's happening with the melting in the Arctic. This not only changes weather patterns up there, which changes the jet stream and affects us here in the mid-latitudes. So you're seeing increased incidents and longevity of these droughts and flood cycles around the planet. But it also, you know, we've never done this on a planet that's had 7.5 billion people. Past ice ages have come on, for the most part, except for the asteroid hit that took out the dinosaurs. They come on pretty slowly. And they've been, in the past, the product of changes in the shape of our orbit around the sun and our wobble on our axis. This is a whole different ballgame. This is not astronomically driven, and therefore it's not occurring gradually. It's chemically driven. And that puts this in a whole different ballgame. And you see the fires burning in places that you couldn't imagine. We see it out west, but in Scandinavia, Siberia, Australia's in a horrible drought right now. And with more people on the planet, these things, these extreme weather events, impact more people. And they do so with increasing frequency. So it's an interesting subject.
Yeah.
And in a way, kind of scary.
It is.
Absolutely.
It is, Tom. And we're so lucky to have you. We're lucky to have you explain all of these weather phenomena to us in terms that we can understand. And,
you know,
we just love you.
Andrea, you're so sweet. Roger Treemster, I came to this slowly. My understanding of all this, I thought when I used to, in my younger years, hear, the ice caps are going to melt and all, I thought, you're going to have to prove this to me.
Right.
Roger Treemster and I would have discussions because he was on board with this a long time ago. The Pentagon is on board with it.
Absolutely. And, it's happening. It's and you're witnessing it. You've seen it.
It is. And it's happening on a scale that is quite interesting. You know, 70% of the people in this country believe in it now. 56% believe it's humans have a role in it. And that number will grow, I think, as time goes on and we start seeing the impacts of this.
Yeah.
But, as long as you keep explaining it to us.
That's right, Tom. Yeah. As long as we have you. Well, congratulations,
Thank
everyone.
Thank you, Andrea and Eric. It's good to talk to you guys.
Always good to talk to you.
We love you, Tom. Good luck with your talk tomorrow. Not that you need it, but congratulations.
Yeah, it's going to be out in Schaumburg.
Yep.
Anybody's able, 1 to 2 o'clock there at the library on Roselle Avenue. Roselle Road, I guess.
Beautiful.
It is.
Yeah. We'll see you out there then,
okay.
Tom. And happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. We love you.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys, too. Have fun tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank
You're the best.
Thanks, Andrea.
Bye-bye, Tom.
Bye, Eric.
He's the best. I love Tom Skilling.
Man.
Enough said. Happy 40th, Tom
Done.
Skilling. Opa! It's the Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty Vasquez is on vacation, and we're having a little celebration here. My birthday's tomorrow. Mark Carmen's birthday's tomorrow. He is en route. He obviously was covering the White Sox game. It was a great game. He had to make a stop off... For a lady friend, but he's going to be with us in just a little bit. But we're planning a little bit of a feast, a little bit of a celebration. I thought we have to get some Greek food in here. And my friends from Breaky Cafe were kind enough to come in from Addison, Frank and Angelo Georgiakopoulos. Thanks, you guys, so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Now, tell us about Breaky Cafe, one of the best Greek restaurants. Well, you feature all kinds of food, but
Correct.
Mainly Greek
Primarily
delicacies.
Greek
tell us about Breaky.
Well, Breaky is located in Addison. We opened about a year ago. We feature in fresh ingredients. The Greek, we basically bring Greece to your backyard, as we call it. We do our souvlaki, we do our gyro, we do signature sandwiches, and then our specialty are loukoumades.
Okay.
Which are like the Greek donuts.
It's the best. Loukoumades are the greatest food on the planet. Explain to everybody who's not Greek or hasn't been to a Greek festival what a loukoumada is.
Well, basically, a loukouma is a fried dough.
Okay.
So we take them on. Ours are a baker's dozen, so 13 to an order. We do them traditional. We do them actually 11 different ways, which your traditionals, which I brought here for you to celebrate your birthday with honey,
yes.
walnuts, and then a little bit of cinnamon sugar. And they're just meant to keep eating with a little bit of Greek coffee, a frappe or a Fredo or anything you call it.
Oh, my God. And I know you're saying all these things and just my mouth is watering. What made you decide to have a Greek restaurant, Greek theme?
Well, basically, I've been in the restaurant business for the last 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
When the opportunity came aboard, lived in Addison for the last, again, 15 years, and we figured we needed a meeting place. So Breaky came along, which is basically takes a little bit of your local hangout, and we took it to the next level of food, quality, consistency, and then it just exploded to what it is now. So people come in there, our patio's in full swing right now, and it's just a meeting place where people can come in and hang out.
It's phenomenal. I have to tell you, so I went to Greece a few months ago, actually. in June, and a friend, I brought my friend who had never been, and she said, I've never, you know, she just knew Greek food from the gyros that, you know, you get at I don't want to say the mall, not that there's anything wrong with that, but that the gyros you get from fast food type places. And she said, oh my God, you know, when you actually sit down and you have gyros served the traditional way, you know, on the pita with the fresh tzatziki and the souvlaki, which is the shish kebab, the chicken and the pork or however you have it. She just was blown away, and she said, you know, I had this thought in my head, oh, I wouldn't like it, because I thought it would be too lemony. I said, well, we do use a lot of lemon, but, you know, it's just a whole new world when you have it prepared the traditional way.
You also have your olive oil in there, your spices, it's all done. You know, when it's done in the right amount, it's a nice compliment.
Yeah, and for years, I mean, we have been talking, I know the Mediterranean diet, you know, is the kind of a fad now, everyone uses olive oil and whatnot, but we've been cooking this way for years. I'm sure your yaya and you know, her yaya, grandma, passed down these recipes for generations.
Yeah, which is the same way. Like, the majority of my cooking has an influence from what I grew up with. So basically, it's like my mom's style who learned from my grandma, from her grandma, and so on and so forth. And you can see it in my version of Greek cuisine, as they say.
And tell everybody, now this is funny too, because when my mom will give me a recipe, she used to write it out on recipe cards, you know, typed on a recipe card. And it would say, salt to taste, or a dash of pepper. And you know, I don't know what that is. So I would call her and say, what was it, like a teaspoon or a tablespoon? That's part of kind of the Greek cuisine as well.
Yeah. Like we have, or whether it be like roughly translated, like, you know, kutalaki to glikous, like a teaspoon or like something, a sweet spoon or something like that. And you're like, okay, whose spoon? Is it mine or is it the Thea's or is it, you know?
Right, right. And speaking of the spoons, would your grandma come after you with the wooden spoon?
Oh, of course.
So, okay, yeah.
You know, I was from that generation that, you know, if it wasn't met with a wooden spoon, you didn't enjoy your childhood.
Or it was a sandal or a belt.
Exactly, right, right.
How bad you were.
I just remember
a lot of similarities here between where the way I grew up as an Italian and the way you guys are all talking. Pretty much the same. That was every single recipe was, there was no recipe. You just watch or you learn how to do it.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, Eric's honorary Greek because he looks Greek. There you go, right?
And I like Greek food, so...
And what, you know, and there's such a sense, and I'm not just saying this because I am Greek, but there's such a sense of community within amongst Greeks.
True.
And I know we have one of the largest Greek populations in Chicago, in the country, in Chicago here, and in the suburbs too. But what is it about the Greek culture that everybody just wants to be a part of?
Well, I mean... Obviously, it'll be bias coming from any one of us. It's just the rich heritage, which everybody has, but we're proud of it. We like to admit it. We like to be a part of it. And then everyone just acclimates to it. So, I mean, you have whether it's the music, whether it's the food, you get together and you just enjoy it. It's like a feeling. It's like a way of life. That's the way I, you know, envision it and experience it.
Well, I completely agree. In fact, Greeks, non-Greeks, the summer season of the church festivals in full swing. So I'll get texts from, you know, my friends who are not Greek saying, hey, are you going to St. Constantine? Are you going to St. Adalambos? Yeah, exactly. You know, let's meet up and we'll go. And the food is just out of this world. Mm-hmm. I highly encourage anyone who hasn't tasted Greek food to absolutely give it a try. What's your favorite thing to make? To prepare
Greek wise, it'd be, if I was doing it like a quick, it'd be like a souvlaki there, but I like getting into like pastizio, that kind of stuff.
Tell everybody what pastizio is. That's one of my favorites.
Basically, pastizio is like, I'll use the term and I'll borrow a little bit from the Italian heritage, the Greek lasagna.
Yeah,
so it's got layers of pasta, it's got meat sauce, it's got a bechamel, and then baked in the oven with a little bit of tomato sauce.
How hard is it to cook with filo dough?
Oh, actually, my mom taught me how to make filo from scratch.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so anytime we make a spanakopita, which is the spinach pie, I've learned the old-fashioned way where I take it, roll it out, and keep it laminating and rolling and rolling and rolling to get it paper thin, and that's how we make our spanakopita at home.
Oh, my God. I remember my mom doing that on the card table. Mm-hmm. Remember the card tables, and she'd put, like, wax paper on it and then spread out the filo dough, because that's how you had to cook back then. You didn't have the double ranges and, you know, what we have today in the big kitchens.
We had it on the big kitchen table, which you'd change out that, whatever they call that plastic, you know, covering over the, you know, tablecloth, and then it'd become out the cooking one versus the serving one, and then she'd just get out that long wooden handle from the room and just start rolling away.
Frank, we had all the plastic on the furniture, too,
which I'm sure we were a little bit more, you know, carefree.
So. We had the plastic, although my mom to this day, she's like, well, we never did that. I said, yes, you did do that. We weren't allowed to go in the living room. Mm-hmm. You could put velvet ropes up in there. It was like a museum.
Well, my mom always would, my Nana actually, my grandmother would always say, well, this is in case the Pope ever comes.
Oh, yeah. You know. Right?
And did he ever visit?
No, it's surprisingly no.
No.
Didn't make it, shockingly, but... I tell you what, man, those couches, they were clean.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, no kidding. So, Breaky Cafe, tell everybody again where you are. Come on out in Addison and see you.
Located at 1453 West Lake Street in Addison. One thing that I do want to mention, if possible, with recently we had the wildfires in Greece and everything.
Yes.
Which was a traumatic time for those of us who, you know, were affected by it and experienced it. What we are doing is, in the coming weeks, basically starting on the 20th for the entire month, is we're doing a special dish that I'm creating. A portion of that will be going towards the Hellenic Initiative, which is the fundraising unit that we decided to go with. And we're donating proceeds from the 20th, and we're also having a big bash, as we want to call it, on the 25th on Saturday. So we invite everyone, friends, family, come on down. We'll be having music, drinks, food, of course, lots and lots of lucumadas.
Yes.
And a portion of the proceeds will be going towards that fund to help those victims of the wildfire.
Please help in any way you can, because those were devastating. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the fiery fighting equipment that we have here, you know, where we can just get different communities to help. They're very limited resources. Correct. And a lot of people lost everything.
Yeah.
Cars, homes, mm-hmm. belongings. So please get out there. It's the 20th and the 25th.
20th will be this one day that we're going to be launching it on the 20th. So the entire month, from 20 to 20, we'll be donating a portion of the special bowl that I'm creating. It's a new grain bowl that we're doing at the restaurant. And then the 25th, we'll be having a big bash over there. So all the information on our website, BrikiCafe.com.
Awesome. It's BRIKICafe.com. And again, it's 1453 West Lake Street in Addison. Thank you, Frank
thank
and
you
Angelo,
much.
For coming in. We appreciate it.
Birthday, Opa, right?
Thank you so
thank
much. You. I've got to start pulling back after this on WGN. 7:23 in the evening. I almost said the morning. 7:20 WGN, Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty's on vacation. Eric Rung is here. Roger Badish is here. Michael Heidemann is here with a special appearance coming up from Michael J. Foxy. But first, we have a little bit of a breaking news to report. What's going on, Eric?
Yeah, Andrea, reports coming in that an airport employee stole a turboprop plane from Seattle SeaTac Airport and took off, flew around with that plane, according to several tweets from witnesses, before it crashed on Keytron Island, which is an island just outside of Seattle. Witnesses also telling local media in that area that they did see F-15s chasing the plane before it crashed. Working on getting a lot more information on this. We'll have an update for you
wow.
at the bottom of the hour here.
God, new meaning to joyriding. He's an employee of SeaTac?
According to the reports that are coming in, no
jeez.
Word yet on if anybody else was on board that plane.
That's a nice airport.
Yeah,
I've been to that airport.
They're reporting that it was a mechanic, and there's actual video now online watching the airplane do what's called, I'm not a pilot, a barrel roll. So he apparently knew how to fly the plane, take off, fly, do a barrel roll, but apparently the communications came back saying he didn't know how to land, like on a regular runway.
Oh my God.
And so just kept going and going. And we don't know what happened past the point of what happened to that person or the plane.
So was there,
between
was there,
the point of that video and then the crash.
Okay. Was there no one else was on the plane?
We don't know.
Just
we don't
him.
Know.
Oh
no, we don't know yet.
Hope nobody was on that plane. That's awful.
Well, there was. I've also seen several photos on mm-hmm. Twitter, too. You could see black smoke rising.
Right.
From I guess that Keytron Island.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So it's the video that I saw showed the plane just kind of flying away at an angle,
mm-hmm.
Making a turn, and then the person with the video moved the phone and caught the jets. You said the
F-15s
apparently were chasing the plane. Also, Alaska
of
Airlines now.
Sure.
Says it is aware of an incident involving an unauthorized takeoff of a Horizon airplane, which would be that turboprop plane.
Right, yeah.
Holy
so,
cow.
So flights, though, are still certain flights, not the entire flight schedule at SeaTac Airport, but several flights are being allowed to take off in some land as the crash site. The incident has moved away from the airport, far away, so that the investigation now is far away and the airport is back open for business.
You, we'll keep you posted on that. And again, hopefully nobody else was on that plane. Is that something you guys would ever want to do, is take flying lessons?
I would.
Would you?
I probably would be a horrible pilot because remember Spike was awesome. He would play that video
game. He had a simulator.
He
had a flight simulator, and he would, honest to God, Eric, he was just the greatest guy. Well, he's still alive. He's still with us. When he was here hosting, legendary WGN radio host, I had the honor and pleasure of working with him for about 5 years and doing his news. But he would leave the show and could not wait, right, Roger, to get home and fly on his simulator, his spaceflight simulator.
Yeah, hours and hours and hours he would do it.
Right.
And talk about it on the air incessantly.
Sure.
And I've tried that. And there was one where you could fly out of Meigs Field when Meigs Field was still around.
Meigs Field. Were you working here when there was Meigs Field?
I wasn't, but I was working in downstate. I was working in Peoria.
So you're familiar with the midnight tearing up of the runways.
I was horrible. I could never take off. And if I did take off, I could never figure out how to get the plane back around to land.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wasn't very good at that.
I like flying. I mean, I like being a passenger in a plane. I've been in small planes like the size of Orion's. Not Orion's per se, but smaller planes.
Right.
I love to fly. I don't know if I would want to actually take the control of the plane
and try
and fly.
There's too much going on.
Yeah, and I'd be worried I wouldn't land it properly.
Yeah,
that's a big part of it.
It'd be like the guy in the middle of the Bishop Ford.
Getting it up is the easy part.
Yeah. So you guys want to go with me or no?
No.
Did you guys see the video that they just put out yesterday of Angelina Jolie?
No.
She flies. She's a pilot. She has her pilot's license. And it showed her doing these flights. You know, she does a lot of work in Rwanda and different countries. And she was, an ambassador for a long time to some of these countries and bringing in food and supplies. So they released a video of her yesterday showing her flying. You know, she's a licensed pilot now.
That's
she's very
fantastic.
Apparently very good. Yeah.
Who was the who used to fly Travolta?
Travolta.
Oh yeah, he
Harrison
bought a Qantas. He bought a Qantas jetliner,
and he would fly up.
I'd fly with him.
No, I know you would. What is the airport in the northern suburbs here? Oh God, I should know it. I've been here all my life.
Palwaukee. Okay.
He would fly in and out of there because his sister lives like in Evanston.
Look at that.
He used to live in Evanston, and I guess, I don't know where she lives now, but he used to fly in and out of there back in the day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Well, you remember Harrison Ford, I think it was when they were shooting the reboot of the Star Wars, he crashed his plane and hurt himself.
On a golf course.
Yeah.
On a golf course.
Could you imagine, though, being on, you know, number 9?
Yeah,
and
right.
All of a sudden, Blake, there's Han Solo.
And again, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, you would say, hold on a second. I'm holding up on my
stand
putt.
Stand by, Millennium Falcon. All right, you guys, we'll check in with Eric and Roger with the news and the traffic coming up in just a second on 720 WGN. 11:39 on 720 WGN, the Patty Maskell Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is on vacation. We have Eric Rung with us, Roger Badish, Mark Carmen, the great MC Love in studio, 20 minutes away from his birthday. What?
I mean, this is history right here, Andrea, to be with you on a birthday night, 8/11.
I know, right?
Year?
Yeah, we won't say the year. People think it's so cool that we have the exact same birthday, month, date, year, and they're like, really? And then they're like, are you guys... Could you have been separated at birth? I actually asked my mom that tonight. I said, are you sure you didn't have a son that you just gave up? She's like, yeah, no.
Right. Well, you know, we're both incredibly talented people.
Right.
You would think that we were some form of fraternal twin here.
Right.
But I'm gonna probably believe that we're not.
We're brothers and sisters from another mother.
That's exactly right.
Right?
That's exactly right.
Years, oh my God, I need to tell the story of when you first came here to WGN. This is like, what, 10, 15 years ago?
That's a long time.
It was a long time ago.
07, I want to say.
And we bonded. I'm like, he's the greatest guy. You're so smart. You know everything about sports. You're so good. You're so much fun.
God bless
you. And we
you.
Said we always were going to go out and have lunch for our birthdays.
Right.
And we finally did one year. And you're like, oh, I got this great place. This is my favorite story ever. We went to the basement of this hotel. It was like a flop house or like a men-only hotel, right? Do you remember this?
I just remember like this a divey Chinese place that I thought looked great.
Right. It was a divey Chinese place. There was one table in the whole place, and it served as a Chinese food restaurant and a cleaner's.
It was delicious.
It was like the best Chinese food I've ever had in my life. And you're like, I went, oh my God, I don't even trust what's in the food. You know, is it safe? And you went, yeah, just eat it. Just trust me. It was the greatest. And it's since closed down, but
yeah, it's gone. Isn't it?
It was in like the basement. You had to go down this hallway. And
I feel like it was on Ohio.
I think it was.
On the south side of the street.
I swear, I think it was like, you know, a halfway house type hotel.
No, there could have been some adult entertainment going on somewhere in the facility.
We had good food and then enjoyed it. But I'm glad we can actually ring in our birthdays. We got some Greek food for you here. We have a little surprise as well. But
I'm seeing what's going on here.
I'm going to wait until it gets a little closer to midnight to bring on your birthday treat from everybody here at WGN Radio.
That'd be your birthday treat too?
Yeah, mine have already been eaten.
Oh, okay.
Yours are fresh and ready for you.
Okay.
And we are going to Michael J. Foxy doesn't just make an appearance, you know, every single week. This is a very rare treat for you.
Michael J. Foxy.
That Michael J. Foxy is going to perform for you.
Okay.
Can we interview you, Michael J. Foxy?
Yes, I think that's allowed.
Okay. Do you use your real name for the interview, or should we just keep it,
you know,
do people know it's you?
I think people know it's me. I think okay. We can pull back the curtain a bit.
Okay.
But any other time, I try to keep my persona.
Keep your incredible. So when you're on stage, do you sign autographs, Michael J. Foxy?
Yet to sign an autograph, but if anybody wants one, that's gonna change.
Buddy.
This is my big break right here.
This is awesome.
Like, what era of Michael J. Foxy is this? Just like Back to the Future? Is this Family Ties? What are we dealing with here?
I don't know what you're talking about. Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Foxy.
They're two different people.
Very different people.
Right, like Michael Heideman and Michael J. Foxy.
Yes. Right.
Two different people. Mm-hmm. Like Jekyll and Hyde.
Both just very talented, though. Look at them.
So, never see them in the same room together. Ever.
Right, exactly.
Ever.
Yeah,
that's funny how that happens. Yeah, never to be. But by the way, happy birthday, Andrea and Mark. It's great to see you guys.
Thank you, Michael. We're excited to hear you play. So without further ado, here's Michael J. Foxy.
Thank you so much.
Corner of Main Street, trying to keep it in line. You say you wanna move on, well, you say I'm falling behind. Can you read my mind? Can you read my mind? Yeah, yeah. So never really gave up on breaking out of this two-star town. I got the green light, got a little fight. I'm gonna turn this thing around. Can you read my mind? Yeah. Can you read my mind? The good old days, the honest man, the breathless heart in the promised land. Subtle kiss that no one sees, broken wrist on a big trapeze. Well, I don't mind if you don't mind, 'cause I won't shine if you don't shine. Put your back on me, can you read my mind? Can you read my mind? It's funny how you just break down, waiting on some sign. I pull up to the edge of your driveway. It's magic soaking my spine. Can you read my mind? Can you read my mind? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the teenage queen, the loaded gun, drop dead dreaming the chosen one. Southern drawn, a world unseen. City waltzing on a trampoline. Well, I don't mind if you don't mind, 'Cause I won't shine if you don't shine before you jump. Tell me what you find when you read my mind. Well, slipping my faith until I fall, you never return that call. A woman up in the door, don't let it sing. Breathe that fire again. She said, I don't mind if you don't mind. 'Cause I won't shine if you don't shine. Put your back on me, put your back on me, put your back on me. Stars are blazing like rebel diamonds cut out of the sun when you read my mind. When you read my mind.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh,
fantastic.
My God.
So much.
You're wow. talented.
Wow.
I mean, not you that know we how ever to doubted, do that. But
you know how to play
man.
That thing.
Michael.
Thanks, guys.
I'm like, I'm almost going to cry. I'm so proud of you. You were awesome.
Oh, thanks.
You didn't
thanks
say you were much. Awesome.
Oh, come
on.
Other people might say that.
But, excellent. All right. So when did you start playing and how did you start taking up an interest in music?
So I started playing when I was really, really young. My dad had a guitar and he always claimed that he used to play, but he never learned how to.
Yeah.
And then I would watch MTV. I'd watch Eric Clapton on MTV play. And then I saw bands like Blink-182 and Weezer. And I was thinking, if they can do it and they get all this attention from females, I think that I could at least try a little bit.
And it worked.
And get that happening. Yeah. So
that's cool. So were you kind of self-taught until...
You know, I went to a few classes, but the thing is, if you're passionate about music, you're just going to fall into it. Like, if you could take a million classes, but unless you really love it, then I don't think you're going to learn much from it. And learning a few chords from classes is important, but then I really just, you know, just practice and playing with people, playing with my friends back in the Northwest suburbs. It was just, that's how I kind of learned. Yeah.
God, you're good.
And you're out playing. You're not just playing in this studio here.
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually playing tomorrow night at Lily's in Lincoln Park at 10 o'clock. And it was funny you say that because it was actually a journey that I took in the beginning of the year. I met this young girl and who's really cute. She's actually here in the studio. And she said, why don't you start playing some more guitar in... and like really diving into this music thing, because you said you always used to play, and I kind of took it as like a dare to jump into playing music again. Yeah. So then I just started playing, and the community here in Chicago, the open mic community, is so welcoming that after the first show, people offered me to play again, and then I'd speak to the musicians we had here in the studio, and they were like, yeah, you know, if you want to jump on and play a few songs, and I'm like, well, I kind of suck at guitar, and they're like, no, you're going to be fine, and then the more and more I practiced, the more shows that I did, the more confident I got, even though I can feel my face be a tomato right now,
because
I was kind of nervous.
You know, the Chicago community is welcoming, but you're really good. I don't think they'd be
absolutely.
So welcoming
Thank
if it
you.
Wasn't, you know. I love your journey. I love it. I love that you're self-taught. Can you hear a song? Is there a song that you say here and you want to start learning it, so you just dive in, you start playing it until you learn it?
Yeah, that was the reason why I wanted to start playing guitar, because I learned, I would listen to like Tears from Heaven or ELO's like Mr. Blue Side or any punk rock songs. And I'm like, how did they figure that out? And I would just sit on my guitar and be like, oh, that's that chord that I needed to play.
So, so if someone says like Green Day,
yeah,
can you just start a riff?
Yeah.
Okay,
but that's like
Something from Weezer.
That's awesome.
That is so cool. I mean, they have an ear like that. It's so cool. Yeah, Tom Petty. Yeah. That is amazing.
You're awesome, Michael.
That's awesome, Michael. You are great.
Mr. Foxy. Excellent.
And Michael J. Foxy.
Can you do another one? Another song, or do you need prep time? I know we had to get the green room ready for you and the red vines, and you have your set list. Does the voice need a rest, or do you want to?
No, I could play another one.
Is that okay?
That'd be great.
Okay, we'll lead into Carm's birthday.
Oh
wow!
Okay.
Oh man.
Okay.
So there's no pressure here.
Yeah, no pressure. Play one of your favorites, like one of your favorites.
One of my favorites. Okay, yeah. This is a song.
It doesn't have to be about Carm or his birthday. It could just.
Thank you.
How about a song about a girl and robots?
Great.
Yes, because when I think
those are my favorite songs.
Yeah.
All right, this is by this amazing band called The Flaming Lips, and the cool thing is, whenever I play this song, somebody in the audience is inevitably knows this and sings along. So if anybody out there in their cars or in their houses or in their earbuds wants to sing along to this, call in or just sing along in your car.
And once again, it's Michael J. Foxy.
Got a black belt in karate. She's working for the city. She had to discipline her body, 'cause you know that it'd be tragic, yeah, if those evil robots win. I know you can't beat them, Hoshime. You don't believe me. You won't let those robots defeat me, Hoshime. You don't believe me. But you won't let those robots deceive me. This evil nature robots, yeah. Well, they're programmed to destroy us. You gotta be strong and fight them. So she's taking lots of vitamins, 'cause you know that, well, it'd be tragic, well, if those evil robots win, yeah. I know that you can't beat them, Hoshime. You don't believe me, but you won't let those robots defeat me, Hoshime. You don't believe me, but you won't let those robots defeat me. Cause you know that it'd be tragic if those evil robots win. But I know you can't beat them, Hoshime. You don't believe me, but you won't let those robots defeat me, Hoshime. You don't believe me, but you won't let those robots defeat me, Hoshime.
Happy birthday, Andrea and Mark.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, way to go, Michael. Jay Foxy.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
You are awesome. You got to be so proud. All right, so what's next? You got your gig on Saturday?
Got the gig on Saturday. I'm going to be, you know, just playing music around the city. I think we're going to start an open mic somewhere downtown. And, you know, just trying to play music in my bedroom is kind of the only goal that I have.
Well,
just learning new songs.
So are you going, like, national? Are you going to be big? I'm serious. Are
you asking Jude to get his autograph? Like, I'm going to after
I am
the show?
Too. Are you kidding?
I'm thinking, like, why not go for it all, Michael Heidemann?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, seriously. Have you thought about, like, you know what? I'm going to do this and just, you know, all out.
Well, you know, I have this really sweet gig at WGN, and I've been really enjoying what I'm doing here. But, Carm, if you want to get on the drums or if you play any instruments, I'd love to take you up on that.
I'll be your manager. I'll seek out gigs.
Right?
I'll make business deals.
Okay.
There you go.
I like that.
You got a business manager right there.
We'll see.
And I'll do all your promos. I'll do all your promotions.
Perfect.
Yeah, there we go.
And Aubrey, are you coming with too?
Engineer. Aubrey's in. He's engineering. Sound mixing everything.
I'll just stand on stage and dance next year. Like the, what was that? The Mighty Mighty Boston years ago? They just had a guy that danced? That's what I'll do.
Except all my songs are way too slow, so you have to do like a slow
sway. I'd be like an interpretive dance.
I love it.
Okay.
Well, Michael J. Foxy, thank you. We're going to have you perform again before the end of the show. And much, much more coming up on 720 WGN. Happy birthday, Mark Harmon.
Happy birthday, Andrea. We're 8 minutes in.
8 minutes in. Okay, this is the first time I've actually been up as it turned into my birthday. I think it's like 13 years. I'm not kidding you. Because I've been working the morning shift for those 13 glorious years. And I can't stay up past 9 o'clock anymore.
Yeah.
Well, now I have to, but...
A whole nother world.
Oh, God. There is. There's life after 9 p.m.
When you walk out of here... I don't, at 1 a.m., the peace of the streets.
Yeah, the peace of the streets, except for the guy who wears the garbage bag.
Oh,
did you see that guy?
It's the peace of the streets, except for the one guy that may not be the person you want to see.
But that's the only thing he's wearing.
He's wearing a guy. I haven't seen this guy. He wears a garbage.
Oh, yeah, there's a garbage bag. And then there's a guy who looks like, he kind of resembles Jesus, but he's just wearing a robe. And the robe must be... from like a movie that Roger would probably play on what's that from? I mean, it's like this tattered robe. It's just, you know, the poor guy needs a new robe.
But okay, well,
he walks on Laura Wacker too.
I mean, I think that maybe on our birthday, Andre, we could pitch in together and
buy him a new robe.
Get a new robe.
That's right? Yeah, like Facebook has the what charity are you going to support for your birthday?
Right.
And I'm always like, oh yeah. As the day gets closer, I'll put a charity up there to raise some money for and. I didn't do it again this year, did you?
Not yet, no, but there's time.
How are you going to celebrate your birthday? Do you go to a sporting event?
Well, we're going to go to the White Sox game tomorrow. We're going to take a little White Sox Indians, and then we're going to have a little late-night dinner. We'll do a little late-night dinner, and we've got softball practice tomorrow morning, 8:45.
Oh, so it's business as usual on the birthday.
Yeah, well, it's almost like special for me to go to softball tomorrow, Andre.
Okay.
Like, that's like to actually wake up and just want to, you know... That's what I want to do. I want to run on the green grass.
Is this co-ed or is this a men's league?
I do strict men in my softball. I used to do co-ed, but I saw too many injuries in the co-ed world. Like dudes come out there and they try to hit the ball really hard and then it wasn't for me.
All right, now here's a total girl question. Do guys, will your team do something for you? Will they have like a little cake? Or will
No chance.
Okay.
Did they even know... that it's your birthday? That would be my question.
Guys don't do that. You guys don't do that.
I think Facebook has made it like it's impossible to not know it's someone's birthday.
Right.
That's true.
Right. But I'm just wondering what guys, like, they're like, you know, all my girlfriends will be either texting or send. Mary Vanderbilt gave me two birthday cards.
I saw.
Isn't she great?
That's so adorable.
That one was so funny.
Yeah. I only saw the pictures.
Oh, you got to read it. They're very funny.
Okay.
Very funny. But so guys don't do that. It's not like hey, it's your birthday. Here's a cake.
No. But I mean...
You guys are going to be like, what?
No, right?
No.
Maybe, I mean, let's get one of my buddies actually did text me to, hey, like a little, you want to grab a breakfast before you go to Sox tomorrow.
That's nice. Yeah.
A little morning pancake. So.
But you guys won't get cards or anything for each other, right?
Cards?
Oh,
no.
Yes, have you heard of it? Hallmark runs a big company. You open it up, there's usually a greeting on the inside.
The only thing I've ever gotten from my friends on my birthday would be a beer.
Really?
I think it's a nice vision that you're creating, though, to write a card to one of your good guy friends.
Yes.
And show the, you know, tell them, you know, that you value the friendship. I think that's nice, Andrea.
Michael Heidemann gave me a birthday card. Oh, but he didn't
but
get you
boy
one.
To girl.
I know.
See,
I didn't
get anything from Heidemann.
It's a whole cultural thing. He left the room.
He's not even in there.
He's back in the green room. He's counting his red vines and separating his M&Ms.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've I've gotten cards like Brett Jackson, who engineers here.
Okay.
He interned for us, and when he stopped interning, I guess I was his boss. I don't even know.
Okay.
But he gave me a card saying thank you for.
Oh, that was a thank you card, but that's not like a birthday card.
But still, that was nice, guy to guy.
That was nice because nobody writes thank you cards anymore.
Right. It was a super nice touch by Brett Jackson. That was years ago. I still think of it today. Like, what a nice. I felt very appreciated.
Okay, so I got you cookies.
I didn't get you anything either.
Okay,
if
I got you something, you know, like a tangible gift, you know, not something edible, like, I don't know, maybe I got you, I don't know, a baseball bat or something, a new tennis racket or something.
Okay, great.
Would you write me a thank you note?
If you, good question.
And I'm not singling you out because I don't think I think if someone gave me a nice gift, I might just shoot him an email
or a text and say thank you. I think.
Yeah, like a non-relative, though.
Man, that'd be tough.
I'll tell you one thing. If I didn't write you a thank you note, I would be wrong. Absolutely deserve
it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. You're supposed to write thank you.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But would I actually do it is a different question.
Write it or get him the gift.
Well, either. Both the time.
But right.
I tell you, though, my sister, my nephew, is 6 years old. And no matter, I send him stuff all the time, and I always get a say thank you note from him. So I'm thinking that my sister is teaching him the right way.
The right way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
It is tough.
It's a thin line right
It's
now.
Really actually not that hard. You just write thank you for the gift.
Right.
You throw their address on there.
You wouldn't put love Eric, though, would you? You just put Eric.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I would put like, oh, love Andrea, or, you know, love AD, whatever you call me.
I do think the thank you note, though, is like a muscle that you have to build. Like some people, they just know to do it. They're snap right into it. Bam, I got to get a thank you code, and they get it in the mail or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's the other people like myself where it's like, oh, you might think about it 2 weeks later.
Right.
So just get right on it.
You know.
Well, that's the problem. You put it off, and then all of a sudden it's been a year. You can't think of it. That's super tacky.
And I didn't have a roommate who did that at all. You know, 1 year to the day after her wedding, I got a thank you note. That's pretty tacky.
Yeah,
but then,
well, I guess you get a year, though. You get a year.
You do get a year.
Send them a gift, so maybe it goes both ways. I don't know.
It's also, I think, not so much with weddings, but birthdays. It's and thank yous in general. I think it's a generational thing because my mom, if we go to lunch, she'll send me a nice thank you card.
What?
She will.
Whoa.
She's so nice
that
like
is
that.
Intense.
She'll send me snail mail too.
If you take your mom to lunch, she'll send you a.
Send me a thank you card, like a little card, and she'll write a note and say, "I had such a nice lunch. Thank you so much," and blah blah blah.
Wow.
So she took me to lunch today, so I'm going to have to write her a thank you card.
Will you do that? Come on.
Oh yeah, I will. Because
really?
She's listening.
Oh.
Yeah.
we're gonna need to get an update on this.
Yeah.
When I saw you guys having dinner the other night, when you had the bacon cheeseburger that was $28 from down the street.
Oh my God, can you believe that?
Did you guys send thank you notes for that one?
No. I think, did I buy? Oh no, she bought that too. Thanks, Carmen. Now I gotta send her two. Yeah, we did. We went and grabbed a hamburger the other night at an establishment nearby where we are now, near Wackerin, Michigan-ish. One hamburger, two Diet Cokes. It was $30.
Ooh, man,
it's New York.
Before tip, so it was $36 because you have to give 20%.
Right.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Was it good?
It was delicious. It really was. It really was. All right, so the White Sox...
You didn't even hesitate on that either.
It was good.
It was delicious.
It was delicious. Oh, my God. It was so good. It better have been for $36, right? All right, so you go to Little White Sox, and what's the perfect Carm birthday?
The perfect Carm birthday... I like to touch many parts of the city.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're completely going somewhere
else.
No,
yeah. No.
Okay.
I like to.
It is your birthday.
I want to see the lake on my birthday. I want to have a nice dinner on my birthday. I want to do something athletic on my birthday.
You want the whole deal.
Yeah.
And you deserve it.
All my little favorite spots. That's kind of how I like to do it.
Yeah. Well, so, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful birthday.
What are you going to do, Andrea?
Oh, my God. I think we'll probably do a little dinner, little relaxing, little R&R.
Is that a home dinner? Or are you going to go out?
I think we'll probably go out. I don't know. I don't know what's planned.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I don't know. I don't know. It's like you get to a certain age and it just becomes like, well, I guess.
I guess we have to go out.
Dinner, yeah. Or just order a pizza. You know, I'm fine.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
I'm happy to have a day off. I mean, all three of us work pretty regularly. I would say almost every single day we're working.
And a lot of different hours, too.
Yeah. I mean, you work crazy hours at TV. You work crazy hours doing sports, Carm, being here, hosting.
We love it.
We do love it.
You have to.
We wouldn't want it any other
way. That's right.
That's right.
That's very true.
What would I be doing at home right now?
I know,
right? I'd be ridiculous.
Right. All right, before you go, we got to talk real quick sports here. White Sox had a stellar game tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
Looking better?
Sure.
Or am I just being optimistic?
Well, you're looking for little nuggets of growth. There's a word.
Yeah.
And Carlos Rodon is pitching very well. He had a shoulder surgery. Didn't start the year on the active roster. Came off the DL. Now is pitching very well. He won 8 scoreless tonight, Andrea. That's the second time in his career he's done that. He had to go back to 2016. And he's pitched well consistently now for a while, so that's good. And Daniel Palka is a 26-year-old rookie, which is old to be a rookie. And he hit his 18th home run tonight to win the game.
Good.
Big physical Daniel Palka. Hashtag Palkamania. So that's going on.
Is that really hashtag?
Yeah, Palkamania's the thing.
Okay.
And let's see. The Cubs won today.
Yeah.
They beat the Nationals 3-2. The Brewers lost, so they're 3 games up, so there's that.
That's good.
Northwestern is 20 days away from kicking off. Dave Bennett is getting ready.
Oh, is he? He is just like a little kid in a candy store with that new facility that they opened?
Well, he doesn't need a new facility to be a kid in a candy store.
Well, no. He's got his Dave Bennett broadcast booth, right?
Right. I mean, he's ret to roll Purdue the opener on a Thursday night, so we're getting close there.
Yeah. Did we ever find out, did Ennett go and tack that sign up as himself, where it says the Dave Ennett broadcast booth, or did the school actually bestow the honor on him?
I do believe it was bestowed.
Okay.
And Dave is Dave.
He's the best. I love Dave.
We all love Dave. Dave, whenever we go there, especially Harry Tynan, which is always like the Dave Ennett broadcast, which Dave like, tries to shy away from. Like,
he does.
Right. But I'm like, yeah, but just own it.
That's cool. You get a booth named after you.
Well, and he deserves it. He's been there forever, and he's
alive, too. Right, I mean, we have 2 conference rooms in this building, the Bob Collins conference room and the Wally Phillips conference room. So Dave Bennett should be very happy. He has a booth named after him, and
it's pretty cool.
Still walking the earth.
Go, exactly. Right. Go, right. Right. You're not dead.
Love you, Dave. He's sleeping. He's not listening to us.
Yeah, no, I don't think Dave's up right now. And what else do I got for you, Andrea? In the sporting world,
you give us something.
There was one
Tiger.
Bears?
Bears. Bears lost last night. Are we there? Yes, Thursday night. Trubisky threw 4 passes. It's really, the preseason's the worst. However, the most interesting story I saw today, Esteban Loaiza, did you see that, Eric?
Hmm.
He used to pitch for the Sox, amongst other teams. He got nailed with 200 kilos of cocaine.
Oh my gosh.
Right, so this guy who made $14 million playing Major League Baseball, apparently he didn't manage his money particularly well, or he just was super greedy, so he went into the drug business, and now he's facing a 10 years minimum to life.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, if he's 46 years old, I'm like, can you imagine like when that cell closes and you're like, what did I, how could you go from a big league mound, making that dough, living that life.
To a mound of cocaine,
to putting yourself, at risk like that, and then you end up in jail for who knows how long.
And for what, right?
And for what?
God, he could be doing auto commercials. He could be doing, baseball conventions.
Right,
I mean, there's got to be something that goes really wrong in your life where that's an option.
Yeah.
Right. What makes you think, all right, what are my options? Working at a used car dealership, dealing cocaine. I mean, come on.
I mean, I guess there's some part of it. You get used to living a lifestyle, driving that Benz, having that pool, living on that coast, and now maybe you blew through your dough. How am I gonna make that? Well,
he literally blew through his dough.
Well, apparently so. Yeah. It's like Scarface. Scarface was pitching for the Sox. Not anymore.
Oh man. Well, enjoy, Mark. Thank you for the wrap. Have
so
a
much.
Great birthday. We love you.
Happy, happy, happy.
You too, my
Eric,
friend.
Eric, see you too.
Yeah, nice
thanks
to
for
you,
the
buddy.
Cookies.
That's the great Mark
Have
Carmen.
A great birthday.
Happy birthday to Mark Carmen, and we'll talk a little politics coming up after this on 720 WGN. 12:35 in the morning. 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty's on vacation. Eric, did we hear an update yet on that Seattle that person who stole the plane in Seattle and took it on what appears to have been a joyride?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it a joyride. The Pierce County Sheriff there said that the 29-year-old, who we understand was a mechanic for an airline at SeaTac Airport,
The sheriff there called him suicidal and also clarified that this was not a terrorist incident. But right now, firefighters are battling a pretty large fire on the island where the plane crashed. And from what we understand, since it's such a remote island, there's only a, you know, maybe a half dozen homes there that they have to actually have the fire trucks and fire personnel get on ferries to get over to the island.
Oh, my God. And then Rod, you and Roger were both saying that they had to have some F-15 jets up in the air.
Well, they scrambled it from the local air base because they weren't sure at first what was going on.
Sure.
We're also getting details. There is audio of conversations between the pilot and the ground crew in the tower at SeaTac Airport, and talking back and forth about the pilot saying, "Do you think the if I can land this, the guys will give me a job?"
Oh,
and,
my God.
Oh, yeah. It's a wide-ranging, weird kind of conversation,
you know,
and there's audio of that.
In this post-9/11 world, though, of course, all of our minds immediately think, okay, a plane has been hijacked, you know, literally at this point, taken. You know, and what goes through your mind at that point is that, you know, something nefarious is happening.
And just think, seriously, just think of what could have happened.
Right.
This is Seattle-Tacoma area, heavily populated.
Very much so, yeah.
Not only that, but we have the wildfires all up and down the West Coast, so the area is dry.
Right.
And who knows what this guy could have done.
Boy, well, we are keeping an eye on it for you, of course, in our newsroom. And Roger, got to text some people asking about traffic with the Beyonce Jay-Z concert at Soldier Field. I guess it was a nightmare coming in tonight.
Yeah, it traffic was heavy coming in,
right,
but we are still seeing heavy times. Not really heavy times. I mean, we're not talking 15, 20-minute delays or anything, but we are talking slow traffic through the museum park, both north and southbound. But once you get past either north of that, if you're going northbound, just north of the Grant Park Bandshell, as us old-timers call it, or south of the
museum. Concerts there.
Sorry about that. South of the museum park, it opens up. So the delays are right in that area, and once you can make it through that area and get out, then the travel time's really heading out from that area on all of the major expressways. Everything's fine.
Very cool. Yeah. So the concert's out. Bay is done for the night?
Queen Bee. Yeah.
Come get it, Bay.
Wait, wasn't Jay-Z supposed to be with Beyonce?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was like a full blown on concert there.
Is this their only night, or are they playing tomorrow night too?
I think they've got a couple of concerts there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be a busy weekend along the lakefront.
It's going to be a very busy weekend along the lakefront. All right. Thank you, Roger. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eric. We got to take a very important phone call here and wish Peg happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Andrea and Carm.
Oh, August 11th.
Yes.
Very cool, Peg. Hey, we're going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift card as well and a pair of tickets to go see Patty and Anna Bolival and Emo Phillips at the Laughstock Comedy Festival in Woodstock on August 17th and 18th. So, happy birthday.
Well, thank you guys. I never dreamed I'd talk to you.
How wonderful. What are you going to do for your birthday today after you go to sleep and wake up, of course?
I'm assisting with part of the tech of a wedding.
Oh, who's getting married?
Pamela and Matt.
Oh, congratulations, Pamela and Matt. They picked a good day to get married.
Yeah.
On our birthday, Peg.
They're throwing a party for me. They just didn't know it.
Ah, there you go. Well, have a great birthday.
Same to you guys.
Okay, we'll put you on hold. You're going to talk to Michael, who's going to be performing in just a little bit as well. You know you're going to be performing again, right?
Yeah, that sounds
Come on,
fantastic.
You were so good. Everybody wants to hear you perform again.
Aw, they're so kind.
So why don't you tune up a little bit?
Okay.
Do you want to perform after we play the game with Roger?
Yeah.
From?
Maybe close it out.
Okay, that sounds good. Do we need a break, or should we go into what's
I don't know if we can perform it.
Why?
Well, we're short
Aubrey,
some
come here. You want to read a line?
Persons there. We need male people.
Can we
play two roles if need be.
Okay, wait. So if me, Eric, Michael, Aubrey, we can get Jess or Danielle if they want to read a line.
Well, we got the one female lead.
Okay.
And then all the other.
Would that be me or Eric?
That's,
No, I'm kidding. That's what we mean.
We need auditions.
Aubrey, you're going to read one, right? You don't want to? Okay, we're going to recruit some of the girls in here. We'll just talk gruffly.
All right.
We'll take a quick break here. Roger, we'll get the movie lines from you. We're going to play What's That From? And then Michael J. Foxy is going to close out the show. How's that?
Foxy.
720 WGN. More after this.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
It's been so smoothly up until then. But they will again now. Roger Badish in the house. This is one of my favorite parts of the show. What's that from?
Yeah.
How did you start? When did you start this?
Michael and Patty started a long time ago. Uh-huh. And then Michael, who, you know, does so many things, wears so many hats on the show.
He is multitasking at a speed that I've never seen anybody multitask.
I know. It's just amazing. I think DC's The Flash kind of took the cue from him.
For those who don't know, our producers work so hard. Yeah. Michael, of course. Jess is in studio. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Jess is in studio with us. She's going to be playing the game as well. You produce
wonderful.
For Matt. And I know you've been on the air before. You're no stranger to WGN. But you guys work so hard. You are multitasking. You're answering calls. You're giving away prizes. You're playing commercials. You're playing audio.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
You
got a lot going
on. Giving us cues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we ignore.
Michael's like, break. Get to the news on time. Yeah. I've been good, though, right, Michael?
You've been excellent.
Yeah, you've been great.
Get to the news on time?
Smooth as silk.
Because I'm a news person. I have to.
Michael, how did this start out? I forgot. It happened, it's been a while, and then I kind of fell into it, I think, making a suggestion of a movie or something. And then you started coming up with subjects, and so I had to find, and I eventually took over what Michael had been doing, mm-hmm. finding the scripts.
Well, I didn't see nearly as many movies as I thought I did, and Roger Badish is a wealth of information when it comes to movies, and he can reach back farther than the 90s movies.
He invented movies.
Yes,
Roger
did.
Was it the first movie,
Celluloid?
The Mind? Oh, okay.
Well, they were picture shows where you actually stood on stage and drew pictures. You know,
there was no audio.
No,
Roger, we love you.
Yeah,
come on.
Can you see in the back row? Don't worry about it.
You are like a savant, right? Where the tape would go.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right, so what are we doing
ready?
Today? Yes,
right,
I think we're ready. All right.
Well, again, what caller number do you want to use? Who's going to
I think the rate we've been going, anybody?
First caller. Okay. And it's got to be caller.
And
you
got to
have
right.
the full title of the movie.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't just say, that Woody Allen film.
Right.
Like last week. Which took what? Was that the longest it ever took, Michael, to guess that movie?
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Roger, take
go.
It away. Okay.
All right. Interior yellow oval room, daytime. Jim stands in his new blue suit, peeking out the window at the circus below.
Turning back, I thought you said I wasn't going to...
Hold on. You're not on the first page.
Yeah, that's the page that we have.
That's the page I have.
Jim?
No. Oh, well, my bad. Sorry. If it's... Already we should...
And two. Scene.
And scene. All right, now, this is where the phone lines are lighting up.
You know why?
Somebody's going to get this.
You know why?
I know it.
You know why?
An app gift card is on the line for this one.
Wow. I just...
Call Bruce Dumas.
If it's not... If it's in parentheses... Don't read it.
Okay. Let's start again.
The circus below.
Dot, dot, dot. Scene. Okay, go ahead. There we go. Okay, Roger, start again.
All right.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1.
Interior yellow oval room, daytime. Jim stands in his new blue suit peeking out the window at the circus below.
I thought you said I wasn't going to see her.
It's just 5 minutes.
Yeah, but the first...
Wait a minute.
Let him finish the...
I'm not done yet. Where's the band at?
Just remember,
okay,
Aubrey's older than me, so it's going to take...
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Aubrey. Go ahead, read.
She hardly ever sees him, and it'll be so fast, she won't have a chance to tell. Bob.
Be professional. If you can convince her, you can convince anybody.
All right.
Now, when she comes in, we'll move you right out to the balcony. All you have to say is, thanks for doing this, Ellen.
Thanks for doing this, Ellen.
Recently. She doesn't always.
Wait a minute. Were you?
No, exactly.
Read. Exactly.
Exactly. Uh-huh. This is, you know. Okay. She doesn't always like the stuff, and it might soften her up.
Jim continues practicing thanks.
We're ready.
Bob rises from the couch and crosses to the doorway at the far corner of the room. Reed leads Jim to the large double doors that open onto the balcony itself. He...
Wow!
He jiggles nervously for a moment. Jim takes a large wad of gum from his mouth and sticks it quickly under the mantelpiece.
Why can't you die from a stroke like everybody else?
Jim's point of view at the doorway, he turns to see Ellen Mitchell glaring at him from the doorway. Everyone in the room freezes. He is stunned by her beauty. Jim just stares at her as she crosses the room.
What are you staring at?
Reed.
We're going to do it right out here.
She stops just before the window and then turns back to look Jim in the eye.
Who was it? Bill? A secretary?
He has nothing to say and just stares at her. Reed nudges him a little.
Thanks for doing this, Ellen.
Okay, really? Can I say this?
Yes.
I have to read this on the air?
Carefully.
Go blank yourself, Bill.
Thank you.
Well, perhaps we can get started now.
She moves directly onto the balcony, leaving Jim behind. He stands there dumbfounded as Reed takes him by the arm, gently pushes him out after her. Jim stumbles out and finds Ellen already poised at the rail, waving to the crowd.
And you can tell those two pit vipers this is the last one of these I'll be doing for a while.
She takes his hand, displaying it publicly. Jim looks down his hand in hers. The heat of her skin goes right to his brain.
Smile.
Jim smiles.
Wave.
Jim waves. Reporters begin asking questions.
How do you feel, Mr. President?
Bob and Reed are huddled beside the window.
Fine.
Fine.
Ready to go back to work?
You bet.
You bet. I'm out of here.
She drops his hand, turns, and goes back through the door, leaving Jim alone on the balcony. He snaps. Ow! He stands there for a moment, then turns and follows her inside. She is halfway across the room when Ellen suddenly stops and does a 180 in the middle of the carpet.
Don't you have anything to say to me?
Thanks for doing this, Ellen.
You don't change, do you, Bill?
She turns and moves through the door, slamming it behind her.
She hates me.
Yes.
Wow, oh my God.
Oh boy.
That is going in the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Oh, no, back in a very dark room, I'm telling you.
Oh my God. All right.
Michael, how many talent agents are calling us right now? I mean, these phone lines have got to be just lighting up.
Our boss, Stephanie, was at the Museum of Broadcast Communications tonight. Maybe we should call her and send over the tape of this one, the audio.
You might not want to do that.
Aubrey, you are awesome, Aubrey.
Yeah, nice work.
Are
nice
you SAG-AFTRA? Do we need to pay you royalties or just there's food out there? How about
not if we don't say anything about it.
Okay, we'll just pay you.
Well, it's good thing we're not talking about it. All right.
Good thing nobody can hear us.
I know.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. That was one of the funniest ever. I have no clue. Do you guys
know this? I do.
No, I do.
I just, the name is escaping me. It's taking all of my power not to Google it right now because I do know this movie.
Actually, clue is in the script we just read because I made a mistake on one word.
Ellen.
And the clue is in the script. No, it's not Ellen.
Is it the line I couldn't
it's
read?
It's not the Ellen DeGeneres one.
Wanting me to say a bad word?
No, it's not Tuck Everlasting.
Tuck. You said it, not me.
I know. Well, that's the name of a movie, Tuck Everlasting.
We have a caller, all right? This is for an Apt gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. You can visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Let's see if Guy knows. Hi, Guy.
Hi, folks. An American president?
Ooh, close, but no cigar.
Wow, good guess, Guy. I wouldn't have known. Hey, Trey, you know what? It's a better guess than I would have given, because I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm sure it probably threw him off, because we read it so well.
I know.
Yeah, if only we had made a few mistakes, it would have helped him out a little.
So anybody
sorry, guys, this is actually our fault.
Is the word, Matt, is there the word president in the title?
No.
Can you give a hint?
It's not in the title.
Michael, how are those phone lines doing?
It's a one-word title. And it is about a president.
I could go back to Peg. She's still online. It's her birthday, but she might want to turn in her prizes now. After hearing that, she doesn't want anything from us. All right, let's.
Wow. Okay. This is even worse than last week.
This is.
I know a couple of clues that this, may help.
All right, this could help. Okay. Jerry, do you have the answer for us?
It's Dave.
That's right.
Oh, nice work. Jerry.
Very good.
All right, Jerry, because you're so good, we're going to give you an Apt gift card. And why don't we give Jerry a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers, heating and cooling with 60-minute med. How's that, Jerry?
Fantastic. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
You're the best. Enjoy your pizza. Thanks for guessing, Jerry. We love you.
Pizza?
I'm sorry. Enjoy your Apt gift card. I'm sorry.
I'll talk to Michael.
Sorry. Jerry, I'm sorry. You do get the Apt gift card, which is more than the pizza, and you also get the indoor weather station as well. I'm thrown because you actually got the right answer. So thanks to Jerry. Very nice, Roger. You do good.
Well,
you do very well.
Thank you very much.
All right. Do we have time? Do we have time for a Michael J. Foxy song? One more to close us out. A quickie?
Yeah, maybe. Just let me just grab this phone call.
Yeah. Why don't you do everything, Michael? Why don't you answer the calls, give away the prizes, produce the show, and perform?
Band play. Get to play the song on the guitar.
Just... Okay. Maybe a song from Michael J. Foxy coming up. We'll take care of a little bit of business. Oh, we're not going to take a break. All right, we'll just stall until you want to come out here. How's
well,
that?
He should. He could be playing a little musical interlude while he's on the phone.
Jerry, hang on. Peg, hang on.
Yeah.
You guys will get your prizes, I promise. Poor Jerry's like, pizza? Yeah. Want an app gift card for guessing that.
For having to listen to that, actually.
Exactly.
Get a pizza, too.
Yeah.
Quick thank you to everyone today. Aubrey, thank you for playing. Jess, thanks for playing. Roger, you're awesome. Eric, you're great. It's been fun. We worked together.
I love this. This was so much fun.
You're back with me next week a couple of days as well?
No, but...
Oh, you want to come in and hang out with us? You want
actually,
a pizza?
No. I think we're going to get my co-host from the podcast. I think we're going to try and do a day. So,
yeah, you're going to be...
So I'm not going to be co-hosting with you, which I have loved
guest, right?
Yes, I'll be a guest.
And Matt Bubala's in. You're going to take over the reins.
What's up, AD?
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Nice
how are you? Happy birthday.
Thank you. Long
so
time no talk.
It's your birthday, so Patty takes off, and you do the show. That's how this works?
Yeah, that's how it's... Yes.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, isn't it great? So I get stuck working on my birthday. But
and
I was
are
you
with working you tomorrow morning, too?
And Carm. And, no, I'm actually... I'm off tomorrow morning.
Nice
so.
For you.
Yeah,
that's
so
good.
I can just enjoy it. Do you mind? I know we might cut into your show
no,
just
no,
about
no.
a minute
I love
or
hearing Michael
okay?
play. We'll get all set up down the road. We got some fun stuff to do tonight, including you guys were talking about that SeaTac plane.
Yes,
or the plane,
yes,
SeaTac.
Right.
There is audio out there.
Yeah.
And it's... I think you described it as a joyride, or somebody said a joyride for a minute. It kind of
was
weird. The guy was like,
he said, if you offer me a job, I'll come down or something.
If I land this thing, you think Alaska Airlines will give me a job?
Right.
And he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to try a barrel roll. And if that works out, then I'll just take it down.
Wow.
And
my
it was,
God.
It's, and he said, you know, something like, didn't know I had a few screws loose until today.
Yeah,
it's
apparently.
Just really. It's fascinating. It's very sad. But
fascinating and sad, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And
but
you're
it's
also. More of that.
And we'll play some of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in a position, you know, I guess I was thinking on the way, and this is why it takes two people to set off a nuclear missile, right?
Right.
Or at least as we've seen in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right? That there's two people separately, they got to turn the keys at the same time, because one person just, you know, just a mechanic there going, oh, what the hell, let's take this thing up and see, you know, I got nothing else going on.
Right.
No, and how close have we all been to just quitting a job in a moment, or doing something that maybe would change our lives in infinite ways, and then suddenly just say, oh, what the hell, I'm taking this thing. I wonder...
Boy.
Did he train for a while to do this, or did
he had to have some training.
You
he had
would
to
think,
get it up.
You would think.
Well, he was a mechanic, so he worked on planes, but how much of an actual training he had to actually get
to
it off the ground.
Take off.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you were going to touch
that.
On that.
Yes,
absolutely. Matt Bubala coming up after Michael J. Foxy performs one more time. We will see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take it away, Michael J. Foxy.
Thank you, guys. Hopefully I can land this thing. I'm going to do a few barrels myself on the guitar, and this is my last song. So thanks again. Happy birthday, Andrea. Also, special shout out to the 630 texter who sent the kind message about my songs.
I could see our fingers all intertwined, all your wrinkles perfectly suited mine. ooh, somewhere down the line. Probably we'd run out of things to do, holding on to what's left of our fleeting youth. But what else can you do? Driving home tonight, I didn't see the lights, 'cause I was just watching you sleeping shotgun. I could have crashed the car, I could tell our summer was just in bloom. Open up the windows in the bedroom when you woke me up at noon. So I was waiting for summer to turn to fall, sick and tired of everything moving at a crawl. If it moved at all. Driving home tonight, well, I didn't see the lights, 'cause I was just watching you sleeping shotgun. I could have crashed the car. As long as there's something to see, I'll see it with you. As long as the days can't seem to find something to do, as long as your love won't leave, I swear I'll follow you through. 'Cause I swear I'll always follow. You spent your better years bored with me. It's not about waiting for eventually, which I can't wait to see. As long as there's something to see, I'll see it with you. As long as the days can't seem to find something to do, as long as your love won't leave, I swear I'll follow you through. 'Cause I swear I'll always follow you. I'll always follow you.
Thank you, WGN Radio. That was great.
Michael J. Foxy.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrea.